What's up, everyone? Conference Championship Saturday is upon us. So as we've been saying for a few weeks now, very bittersweet as we, number one, have an amazing Saturday and Friday, if you include it, slate of games here. And then on the bad side, college football is almost over for the season. We have conference championship weekend, and then we are into bowl season. So we are in the home stretch. Hopefully we can make some money this weekend. Hopefully we did last weekend and in the weeks prior, but hopefully we can give kind of the last really amazing main slate off with a bang here. So before we get to the Saturday slate on DraftKings, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that thumbs up button if you haven't already. Helps us a ton. And thank you for everyone who has joined and jumped on board this year. Been an amazing year with growth and as far as the podcast and show goes. So we really appreciate it. And let's rock and roll here. So we have a kind of unique DraftKings all day slate. I mean, what were they supposed to do? They, you know, there's only two games at night. But knowing DraftKings has been known to kind of split these things up. So really happy, I guess, first off, that they combined everything into one all day slate. We have eight games starting with in the morning. We've got Miami of Ohio facing Toledo. The over-under in this one is 44, and Toledo is an eight-point favorite. We have Oklahoma State playing Texas, where the over-under is 55. Texas is a 15.5-point favorite as it currently sits. Boise State and UNLV. Boise is a 2.5-point favorite with a 59 total in that one. Georgia and Alabama. Georgia, 6-point favorites, 54.5 total. SMU plays Tulane, 47 total there, 3.5-point favorite to Tulane. App State plays Troy, 52.5 total in that game, 6-point favorites to Troy. Louisville and Florida State, the Seminoles, 2.5 points favorites here, 47.5 total. In Michigan and Iowa, Michigan, 22-point favorites, the return of Jim Harbaugh, and 35 total on that one for a banger to close out the slate. So I think the first thing, obviously, you know, this is probably self-explanatory and doesn't need a whole lot of talking about because it's kind of captain obvious. But I think the one thing just to talk about is, like, all these teams are good, right? Like, there's not I don't think there's necessarily really major blowout potential on this slate. And even if there is, I think those teams that could get blown out here or could get beat by 3-4 touchdowns still have some firepower, right? They're still good teams. This is conference championship Saturday. So I think that's the one thing just to kind of remember. With that being said, everyone but Iowa is in play this weekend. Let's just be honest here. I'm sorry, Iowa fans. I know that hurts to hear, but you know it's true. We're not playing Iowa players this weekend versus Michigan. If you listen to some of the major podcasts out there, Josh Pate being one of them, he brought to my attention there's a prop bet this weekend for team totals per half. So how many points will each team score per half? Iowa's is 0.5. So take that for what it's worth. They are predicting that potentially Iowa does not score a point in this one. So scratch them off, move off of Iowa. The other, you know, 15 teams on the slate are live, I believe. So let's go ahead and just talk through them. I don't have a ton of interest in Miami, Ohio, and Toledo. Miami of Ohio and Toledo are both going to be running the ball quite a bit. Miami, Ohio especially. It's a 44 total in this one. It's one of the lower game totals on the slate. I just don't have a whole lot of interest here. There's a few pieces that we'll talk about that I think you could go to just to kind of have cost savings or unique spots, but it's not a game that I'm going to be stacking necessarily. Running through kind of my favorite plays and my favorite how I think this weekend's going to go. I bet Oklahoma State already 15.5-point underdog. I think that's just way too big of a number. Texas beats teams. I know last weekend they smacked Texas Tech, but that's not really what they've been all year against better teams, right? Like, they have played some of these games very close. And I think Oklahoma State with Gundy are going to pull out all the stops. They're going to try trick plays. They were the most livid team by far of any team of Texas and Oklahoma pulling the SEC stunt, moving to that conference. So they are going to be out for blood in this one. I do not be shocked to see, yeah, they might get blown out, but they are going to try fake punts, trick plays. Be ready for it. Mike Gundy's going to empty the bag on this one and try to ruin Texas's season as a final farewell send-off gift. I took Oklahoma State in the points. So I do have some interest in Oklahoma State here. Texas, I have some interest in as well. I think this game is sneaky shootout potential for sure. Boise State, UNLV, I do have interest in both of these teams. Same with Georgia, Alabama. SMU side of the ball is kind of tough to predict. We'll talk about Tulane, a little bit better of a system, and everything's kind of operating all as it should be. App State and Troy, I have interest in. I have interest in some of the Louisville and Florida State players as well. And then again, I have interest in one, maybe two guys from Michigan. That's it. So let's do it position by position. Here we go. I think Jalen Milroe is a very good play. Same with Carson Beck this week. I know they're priced up. I think that's going to scare a lot of people off of this game. I think a lot of people hear this game and they think defense. That is true. But at the same time, both of these teams are evenly matched. It's not like Alabama or Georgia is going to come out here and just flex on someone, on a weaker team and just like impose their will by running the ball 55 times. That's not going to be the game this is. I think there's going to be points. I think there's going to be big plays. I think this game could easily go over the number here. And being straight up with you, I picked Alabama in this one to cover, at least. Let's just be clear. So I took Alabama +6. I think this one's close. We talked about it last week, and I played them a lot, and I hope you did too. If Alabama is losing, it's going to be the Jalen Milroe show. Period. He is the focal point of that offense. He's going to be running and gunning to keep them in it and trailing. If they're ahead, it's still the Jalen Milroe show. So I love this spot. Jalen Milroe is definitely the do-it-all guy for Alabama. If they're going to be in this game or win this game, it's going to be on his shoulders, should say his shoulder and his legs, to be direct. But I like Jalen Milroe quite a bit. But again, I have Carson Beck. Definitely some interest there. I think Alabama's got a pretty damn good run defense. They're going to try to run the ball, Georgia will, but if they're not having success, Kirby Smart is not dumb. Neither is that coaching staff. They will let Carson Beck throw the ball here. And for the first time, I think pretty much all year, we should see both of his main targets and Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers in the lineup at the same time, which is, again, if we want this game to kind of stay close, if we need Jalen Milroe to get going, we need Georgia to score some points, and I think they will here. I think this game is, 31-27, something like that. So I don't know if that's exactly where we're going to be, but I do think we get at least into the high 20s for both teams here. Moving down, man, I don't know what to do with Quinn Ewers. The Texas team has been rolling, obviously, winning games, even in close games where it's kind of higher scoring. He just doesn't quite get there from a fantasy perspective, right? Like, look at his numbers. Yeah, early in the season, he was on fire versus Rice, and then obviously the Alabama game. Since then, he's had one 30-point outing, which was the Kansas game. So I don't really know. I mean, Oklahoma, he was bad, 16 points. Houston, bad, 15. TCU, Iowa State, under 20. And then last week on the route, he didn't even eclipse 10 points. So I don't know, man. I think you need, like, the perfect game script for to hit on Ewers. Whereas I think Beck and Milroe are much safer to get you 20-plus points in this one. So a lot of people are projecting Texas to blow these guys out and smack them. If you think that's what happens and you think it happens through the air, by all means, feel free to play Ewers. Again, there's not really bad players or, especially quarterbacks on the slate. I mean, anybody is live, but Ewers is not my favorite based on the season he's been having. Moving on down, I think Michael Pratt is definitely in play. He's not going to be the guy who comes out here and throws it 55 times, but he is wildly efficient. Even last week where he only completed 9 passes versus UTSA, he still got you 17 DraftKings points. 2 touchdowns, 118 rating. He ran the ball 10 times. If you think you're going to get a game where he's going to run the ball at least 10 times and get you, 4 or 5 points, potentially pop a touchdown in on the ground, he's very live this weekend. So again, some people might get off of this one. SMU, I think, has a really good rush defense, which is why I kind of have some interest here. I like Michael Pratt. I do. I like him more than Quinn Ewers this week, period. Moving down, Joey Aguilar for App State, I think, is definitely live. That App State-Troy game is interesting, man. I think a lot of people are going to ignore it. Like, what happens on a lot of these slates, right? Everyone, especially the casuals, are going to be like, oh my God, I want to play Louisville, Florida State, and Alabama, Georgia, and Texas, because that's who I'm going to be watching on TV. Meanwhile, App State and Troy, or, you know, Boise, UNLV is really the game that shoots out from a DFS perspective. So I have interest definitely in Aguilar, and then China dropping all the way down to Gunnar Watson as well for Troy. 7K and 6K, prices are right. I think this game has some firework potential. So I will be playing Aguilar and Watson. Kalen Green, I think, is fine. He hasn't really blown up or done a whole lot this year. I think the one selling point on this one is, you know, UNLV's defense is not very good. I know they're in the conference championship here, but I think they could be exploited a little bit. I have interest in both sides of this game from a quarterback perspective. Green, but man, I mispronounced his name. Jaden Maiva. I know I got that wrong. I'm sorry, Jaden, but he's been really good, man. Averaging about 17 points a game. Now, again, he's kind of right where like Ewers is, but you're not paying above 8K for the guy. So, you know, if you need some salary savings, I think both of them are live here. And then again, if you are on Team Vinny this weekend, I think Alan Bowman has to be considered. We'll talk about it. We'll just roll right into it. Oklahoma State's best player is Ollie Gordon. Okay. Ollie Gordon is fantastic. Ollie Gordon was potentially in the Heisman conversation like a month ago. He put up 54 DraftKings points last week. I mean, come on. He is going to be facing his toughest test yet. Texas is one of the best run defenses in the country. They have given up, I think, two or three rushing touchdowns all season. We're going to find out what Oklahoma State does here, because I don't think they're going to have success just running the ball traditionally, like right up the gut. I think they're going to have to get creative in the running game. Don't be surprised to see Ollie Gordon used and involved more in the passing attack in this one. You know, we do see him get four or five catches a game, six catches sometimes as well. When he really explodes, I think that's how they're going to have to get him the rock here. I just think running the ball 25 to 30 times up the gut is going to be a challenge versus Texas. So if that's the case, Alan Bowman has got to be considered if you think this one stays somewhat close, right? I mean, they have to throw the ball. He's had moments this season where he's looked really good. Again, this is not an easy matchup, but I think depending on ownership, my guess is he's going to be pretty low owned here. I think he has potential for like 25 to 30 DraftKings points. He's going to have to throw it more than 40 times, in my opinion. I just don't see a game script where like Oklahoma State like takes an early lead and then grinds them out, right? So if you are on, you know, that same playing field with me and you think that's how this thing goes, I think Alan Bowman has to be considered. And I think Ollie Gordon has to be kind of not faded, but I think depending on ownership, you know, he's definitely going to not be one of my favorite running back plays this week. So leading more of the passing attack for Oklahoma State. Moving over to running back, I just touched on Ollie Gordon. I think Blake Corum is always a great play. We'll see if Iowa can keep this thing close. If they do, Blake Corum's going to be in a great spot. They're going to lean on him in this one. They've got the playoff right in front of them. Jim Harbaugh is back. There's no reason to go away from Corum in this matchup if it's close. I think the only challenge is if you think, you know, if Michigan pulls out to an early 21-0 lead or something, that thing's over. And you may see Blake Corum pulled at halftime. So just be cognizant of that if you go there. I think Ashton Jeanty for Boise State's a really good play at 8K. We've seen this guy break multiple slates this year. He is splitting the backfield with Helani, so just kind of keep that in mind. But he's going to get all the passing work. If you think this one stays competitive, I think Jeanty's still your guy that you want to play and go to. At least that's how I'm approaching things. Penny Boone, yeah, I think he's in play. Miami, Ohio does have a good defense. They just played this team like 5 weeks ago, and Penny Boone got absolutely shut down. So not one of my favorite plays on the slate, but he's going to get volume. He's going to get touches. I think he's very much in play, but not one of my favorites. The two guys I do think I have quite a bit of interest in, the three guys, I should say. Jawar Jordan for Louisville, 7,100. Trey Benson for Florida State, 6,900. Those are my two favorite plays from that Florida State-Louisville game. I think both teams want to lean on the run. Both teams know that they have explosive backs, have big playbacks potential in this game. And I think the price is right. So I think Jordan and Benson are two of my favorites this week. Kamani Vidal, for Troy. If you think they get it done more on the rushing side of things, his volume is just absolutely fantastic. He's got a great matchup here. He's going to get at least 15 touches in this game. He does every single week. Sometimes he can get into that 25 touch range where you're really in business. So if Troy starts getting some success on the ground, they will lean on it. And Vidal might be your guy to kind of take home a trophy or, you know, top prize this week. Hughes for Tulane, I think, is an okay play. He gets the volume. He's their lead back for sure. I just don't know if they're going to have a ton of success on the ground. As I mentioned, SMU has a great rushing defense. Jaden Blue for Texas and CJ Baxter, I think, are both in play. Again, if you think Texas gets out to a lead and they want to grind this one down, I think both of them are definitely live. As painful as it is, I'm going to do it again. I got absolutely burned and cost me probably a few takedowns and GPPs last week playing LJ Johnson. Was just a typical college football thing where senior day, for some odd reason, SMU decided just, hey, we're not going to play LJ Johnson today. So that goose egg in about half of my lineups absolutely crushed me. Still had a good weekend, still profited for sure. But, man, I'm going back to him. I think SMU has to lean on the run in this one. They have to. Their quarterback's out. Preston Stone is out with a knee injury. So if SMU wants to win this game, they're going to have to play defense, run the ball. I think LJ Johnson's very live, barring that they play him. I don't know what's going on there. So monitor the news, please. And they've got a lot of guys. So who the hell knows, to be totally honest with you guys. If you are very like risk averse and you don't want to take a shot on this one, don't play the SMU guys. But I am. I'm going to play some LJ Johnson. I'm hoping after last week and some unclear news, he comes in like sub 10%, sub 5%. And at 5,100, you get kind of a bell cow situation here. So that's where I'm going. And then I think Donovan Edwards is in play for Michigan. 5K, I know he's been very hit or miss this year. It's Blake Corum's show. But if you think Michigan, as I do, blows these guys out and this game's over fairly early, I do think you see some Donovan Edwards get mixed in a little bit more to kind of take this one home. So Iowa's got a good defense, but I do think Donovan Edwards could be considered in bigger GPPs. Moving to receiver, here's kind of my player pool, guys. I just talked about quarterbacks and running backs. You kind of know where I'm going in terms of the slate. Let me just touch on my favorite receivers. Bowers up top, obviously, 7,400. I think Ricky White's a great play for UNLV, 6,700. Ladd McConkey for Georgia is the other piece, 6,400. I have interest in both of those guys. Jamari Thrash is the only receiver for Louisville I'm going to be playing at 6,300. Xavier Worthy is my main target for Texas at 6,200. I think both Alabama receivers, Jermaine Burton, Isaiah Bond, are live at 6,159. Brennan Presley is my favorite for Oklahoma State at 5,500 and Leon Johnson at 5K. Chris Brazil for Tulane at 5,400 is my favorite target from that one. You can consider Jaquan Jackson, who's coming back this week at 4,500 if you need the price savings, but still want to get a chunk of that game. Man, this one's going to be weird. This one's going to be tilting all night. I know it, but I'm playing it. I am going to have some Keon Coleman and some Johnny Wilson from Florida State. The prices are just too tempting for guys that are just absolute beasts. If they can get them the ball, they have big play potential and could absolutely house one at any time. So Keon Coleman, 52, Johnny Wilson at 49 are in play for me. Caden Robinson at App State for 5K is a very good price for him. I think both Troy guys, Chris Lewis and Jabri Barber, are very live. 4,700 and 4,400 are very good prices for them. RJ Maryland, man, the passing attack is more confusing for me than the running attack for SMU. But if you want to go for it and get wild, I think RJ Maryland and Moochie Dixon are both okay. Who did I not mention here? If you want to really get down and dirty, I think you can go to Junior Vanderos for Toledo at 3,700. He's my favorite pay down option from that game. And then if you want to just YOLO this thing, you go to Billy Bowens or Austin Bolt, who are the receivers for Boise State that should get a bump here with their other guys opting out for the Bulls and you know, moving into the transfer portal. So finishing on that, please monitor the news. Please keep an eye on things. No one's going to really miss this weekend. It's conference championship weekend. But as we start seeing, guys are going in the transfer portal. Guys are, you know, late news, all that kind of stuff. Follow me on X. I'm at NotoriousVJL, as you can see right there. And subscribe. Again, hit that thumbs up. Good luck, everyone. This sucks that college football is over, but let's go out with a bang and win some money. Talk to y'all later.